We'll do it live!
You are listening to the AMC Report with your host, Ryan Dawson.
My guest today back on the program is Mr. Thomas Mountain. He's a political blogger and journalist for the Foreign Policy Journal, as well as the Intrepid Report. I'm calling down to Eritrea by phone, so the audio is what it is. I might write a transcript if need be. Mr. Mountain, you've written a lot on the geopolitics of Africa, and Nigeria has been in the news recently for the kidnappings and Boko Haram. But what I'd like to do is get a good background on Nigeria's economic situation and a general backdrop in Nigeria, because it seems to be missing from the narrative. Could you give your two cents on the control of Nigeria and their resources and the economy there?
Yes. Well, it's really the basis of the problems we're having in Nigeria with the Boko Haram stuff is because of the marginalization of the people in that eastern Nigeria. Nigeria produces something like $140 billion worth of oil every year, of which the Nigerian government gets something like $10 billion. A third of that oil is just plain stolen, and then the royalty is somewhere around 10 or 11%. So, you know, the West is sucking out an enormous amount of money out of Nigeria, and the Nigerian government is getting just a small fraction of that. And then to top it off, the Nigerian government is really more than a kleptocracy. I mean, there's just the governor of the Central Bank of Nigeria was just holding a press conference trying to explain how in the last 5 years, $20 billion has gone missing. The Nigerian government is supposed to collect about $50 or $60 billion in the last 5 years of oil royalties, and they can't explain where $20 billion of it went. In other words, all this money that's supposed to be pouring into Nigeria isn't. And what does get there, you know, 40% was just literally ripped off. We can't even explain what it was. And so that explains why out where the Boko Haram is operating, there are very few schools, there's almost no water, there's no running, no electricity, there's no medical care out there. The people are marginalized. Their lives are very difficult, very hard, they're suffering, and the people are angry. And they're fed up with the central regime and, you know, and basically been ripping the country off for central independence. So, you know, the basis, the ground is fertile for a group like Boko Haram because the people there are really in desperate straits. Now, Boko Haram themselves, you've got to understand, is basically a Wahhabist sect. The Wahhabi movement is based in Saudi Arabia. The British put the Saudis in power because the Saudi family in power because they're Wahhabi and they're very anti-communist back in, you know, back before World War II, when the anti-communism was a big thing in the world. Now the Saudis, you know, they discovered a lot of oil in Saudi Arabia, they became incredibly wealthy, and the Saudis have spent billions of dollars building madrasas, Muslim schools, all over the world. And these madrasas were funded by the Saudis, and the requirement is that they have to teach the Wahhabi sect, the teachers, this fanatic, some of the most backward in the Muslim world. And, you know, wherever you see this outbreak of this fanaticism, this Islamic fanaticism, you see Wahhabism behind it. Now, for the last 40 years in Nigeria, the Saudis have been funding these Wahhabi schools, and now we're in the third generation of Wahhabism there, and this is, you know, this is, it spread, you know, it's basically the source of the fanaticism in Nigeria. It's not indigenous, it came from outside the country. Nigeria is used to be pretty tolerant in terms of people living together. And it's the Wahhabists that have come along and put into power, in effect, what's going on now, the Boko Haram. And you see the same problem in Mali, where the Wahhabists came in under the guise of this, where they took over the struggle away from the Tuareg rebellion, and, nobody tried to explain where they were getting their money from. But historically, it's all come from the Saudi royal family. You know, it's all over the world. You see these Muslim fanatics, you find Saudi money behind it, whether it's Pakistan or West Africa or even Al-Shabaab in Somalia. There's serious questions about where Al-Shabaab is getting the money. So getting back to Nigeria, you've got marginalization because of the theft of the natural resources, first of all, by the Western oil companies, and then secondly, by the Nigerian government. So the people's lives are, you know, just misery, and was thrown down for Boko Haram. Now, you know, there's been a lot of speculation, I mean, about where Boko Haram, who started them. Recently it came out that the leader is actually from Britain. I mean, he spent most of his life in Britain, and he moved back to Nigeria and started this. You know, and you know, this most of the claims that most of the fighters in these Wahhabist groups in Syria were from Britain. So, you know, Britain's been a hotbed of this Muslim fanaticism, and it's no surprise that it's spread all over the world. So, you know, when we look at Nigeria, even the military, people in the military there are supposed to be suppressing this Wahhabist Boko Haram group. And yet, Nigerian military is woefully underfunded. The commanders of the military are famous for stealing the salaries of their soldiers. The soldiers were there because in the military because it's a job. Now, you know, the Boko Haram people, they believe in what they're doing. And they're willing to die for the cause. So the soldiers in the Nigerian army don't believe in what they're doing. It's a job, and they're not willing to die for their job. So you find the Boko Haram increasingly, you know, on the offensive, and the Nigerian military increasingly on the defensive. And, you know, the Nigerian military is actually a little more than a gangster operation. I've never seen an interview with BBC's Nigerian reporter, and he was saying that the people, you know, where Boko Haram is operating, really don't have that much to fear from Boko Haram. They're more afraid of the military. The military comes in and just carries out random acts of reprisal. They loot and plunder and rape. And they're more scared. The people in the region are more scared of the Nigerian military than they are Boko Haram. You know, the Boko Haram operates on pretty strict guidelines. And if you play ball with them, they don't really come in and carry out too much random violence. They're pretty much just attacking the representatives of the state or things that they claim that, you know, haram, which is forbidden, right?
Right.
So, you know, this is a problem. It's expanding not only in Nigeria, it's expanding into Cameroon. It's a problem that I think I don't see much of a solution to the problem because, first of all, Nigerian military is corrupt and demoralized, and the Nigerian government's not in a position to really fund the military. So, because, you know, the basic problem is because the people on the region are so marginalized, there's very fertile grounds for the spread of this fanatic, the Band of Islam.
Well, I mean, they do have the money, it's just that it's being pocketed by these kleptocrats. I mean, how can you misplace $20 billion?
If you look at it, I mean, $140 billion a year, Nigeria is supposed to be a very wealthy country. I mean, there's 100 million people in Nigeria, and if there's $140 billion that's been sucked out of that country every year, Nigeria is supposed to be the wealthiest country in Africa. Yet it's one of the most desperately poor countries in Africa. Most of the people there live on less than $2 a day. I mean, you know, there's no free public education. In the capital of Nigeria, you know, in Lagos, the commercial center of Nigeria, you know, if people get 4 or 5 hours of electricity every day, they're lucky. So how is it possible that a country that's supposed to be that wealthy can't even provide electricity and running water and schools to their people? I mean, that just shows, goes to show, you know, you hear all these talks about African forums and Nigeria's economy is growing. People are desperately poor. They're sick because there's no public education. You know, they're sick, they're illiterate, they're cold. The people's lives are pretty much miserable there. And it's very fertile ground for all sorts of fanatic groups to come in and preach their version of the gospel to the religion and recruit people that are, their lives are desperate. I mean, desperate people do desperate things, and I think this is the basis to understand what's going on with Boko Haram.
Well, all the more reason why you can't judge a nation's economy by how well certain stocks are doing in the market. It doesn't trickle down. That seems to be the crux of the issue, is the economy. If you fix that, you wouldn't have so many desperate people, you wouldn't have so many mercenaries, and you wouldn't have such a destitute military. But the media doesn't report on people living on $2 a day. The media only reported on the more theatrical kidnapping in recent weeks, and nothing about the economy and nothing about the corruption in government, which I do believe is in collusion with the IMF. Your thoughts on the IMF?
Well, you know, Nigeria is deep in debt to the IMF. I mean, one of the problems the Nigerian government has is they've got to keep refinancing these loans to the IMF. How can they borrow from the IMF when all this oil is coming out of the country? You know, it's, I call it the international misery fund, because everywhere they go, you know, the life of the people is misery. I live in Eritrea. Eritrea basically doesn't owe any money to the IMF. Eritrea's got one of the, if not the lowest per capita debt in Africa. And so, you know, the government here is focusing on trying to make the lives of the people better. As a result, society is very, very stable and peaceful. And we have serious economic problems because of the Western embargoes. But, you know, we don't have $140 billion of oil being pumped out of Eritrea. So, you know, the other thing about this kidnapping of these schoolgirls, the fact it's called a demonstration in Nigeria in support of these girls, and only about 250 people showed up for the demonstration. I mean, even one of the interviews I saw on CNN, they're asking the question, how come there's nobody out here demonstrating against these kidnappings of these girls? The Nigerian people themselves are not on the, out in the streets and in the masses demonstrating against these kidnappings, because there are so many problems in their country to demonstrate about that the kidnapping of these girls just kind of falls through the cracks. The Nigerian people are not the basis for this big inside on Nigeria, not the basis for this big campaign to bring home our growth, which Michelle Obama and everybody's promoting. This is not something that's indigenous to the Nigerian people. The Nigerian people are, you know, so overwhelmed by the problems in their country. I mean, they're looking for clean drinking water. I mean, thousands of Nigerian children die every month because they don't have access to clean drinking water. Their children are sick from malaria. And there's no medication, there's no preventation program preventing malaria in their country. I mean, you know, there's no work, there's no education, there's no medical care. The Nigerian people are so overwhelmed with their problems, they're not out there protesting about in the masses against the kidnapping of these girls. I mean, this is almost a Western propaganda thing. If they're more concerned about these girls outside than they are in Nigeria, I mean, you know, it's almost like it's kind of one of these on something to make for an excuse to send American drones and other things into Nigeria, because basically, you know, the United States wants to maintain its control, the Western control of Nigerian oil. So, you know, the Premier of China was in Nigeria, meeting with the Nigerians, talking about, you know, bringing in real economic partnership that the Chinese do in Africa, rather than this strictly exploitation and theft of resources to the Western portions of Africa. And this has got the United States upset, and they're very worried. So, you know, what do? They want to be able to come in militarily and dominate the region. Now, American foreign policy, enforcement of American Pact Americana, is based upon, as much as possible, using local policemen on the beat, local gendarmes to do their dirty work. Now, South America, they've got Colombia to do that, in the Middle East, they've got Israel, in East Africa, they're mainly Ethiopia, and in West Africa, it's in Nigeria. Now, the Nigerian military is involved in so-called peacekeeping operations in Mali. There were Nigerian soldiers down in Cote d'Ivoire. You know, Nigerian soldiers they're trying to get Nigeria to send troops to the Central African Republic. And yet the Nigerian military can't even maintain and protect their people from this fanatic Wahhabi sect in their own eastern Nigeria. So, I mean, you know, Nigeria is supposed to be an enforcer for the United States and Western powers. They can't even protect their own people from, you know, basically a foreign imposed fanatic movement like Boko Haram.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's just a pretext to bring in American military. They have no concerns whatsoever about the conditions of life there or the people there. And they just found something that they could sell to the public with the kidnapping. It was with Michelle Obama, etc. But I don't think people were aware until you just said so of how destitute Nigeria is. They look on paper like a very wealthy country, and I don't think people realize that there are people looking for clean drinking water who don't have electricity or only have a few hours of electricity a day.
Yeah, that's reality. You know, I mean, it's most Nigerians are desperately poor. You know, Nigeria has been independent for over 50 years, and they can't even provide education to the people. I mean, there's no.
Oh, we lost the line there. I believe he was going to say there's no reason for it. And what's happening is you have predatory lending from the IMF on one hand. You've got the old puppeteer-style government, which is looting all the wealth, hoarding it for themselves, taking the money from the oil wealth, etc. It does not get redistributed. They are not making money from taxes to build infrastructure. They're taking out loans to build infrastructure. Half the time, they never build it. They just take out the loan and pocket the money again. There's all this missing money. There's massive black markets, and there's no excuse for it. And none of this is getting any media attention. They only talk about Boko Haram and the kidnapping, you know, bring back our girls. It's a nice thing, a slogan here. It gave the U.S. a pretext to put its military in Nigeria. It's their own military who they're afraid of more than Boko Haram. And until the economic conditions are fixed there, all these problems are going to persist and continue to get worse. But my apologies on the bad connection with Eritrea. I promise I will try and get Thomas Mountain back on the program. You can hear his previous interviews in the link below. Sometimes with technology, you just get what you get.